Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Chulin Memtes. We begin on the eighth line off the top of the Amud. There was a story, Ahikashisa, there was a story about a pit of a date, which was discovered in the gallbladder of the shechted animal. The shtakach was found b'mor in the gallbladder. Now this relates to yesterday's discussion. We found a needle, we found all kinds, in all kinds of places. And the question was, where do they come from? So, unless they have a GPS tracker to track the route, it could have come from several locations. It could have been ingested with the food, right? And then it would cause trouble because how did it end up in the liver? How did it end up in the gallbladder, in the lungs? It must have traveled through the veshet, food pipe, then made a hole in the wall and made its way through the body of the animal into the other organ, into the lung, into the liver, or in this case, into the gallbladder. So in that case, the animal would be a trefa if it took that, yes, puncture route, but it could have also been inhaled, unlikely, but it could have happened, into the trachea, into the windpipe, and then slid through the ducts, through the channels, through the arteries, in this case, into the gallbladder, in which case it didn't really cause any damage on the way, and the animal's kosher. So which way? Amar Rav Ashi. Kavinim b'Rav Kahana. When we were learning by Rav Kahana, Amar, so he was discussing this shaila, and he says, Havadai, in this case you can be certain, Simpaina Nakat Vasoi, you travel through the Simpainas, through the ducts, and ended up in this location. Why? Why couldn't it have taken the damaging, the unsafe route that makes it a trefa? The answer is, we're talking about a pit. We're talking about a needle. A needle can punch through and make holes, but a date pit is rather blunt. We can safely assume it took the safe route. Now, there is one difficulty, because afagav, the lenafka, even though you see it doesn't really have enough room to move through the duct, it can barely, it's just stuck there. You can't get out of it, right? Nevertheless, we can assume that it came through the duct system, mirbahu de karavle, because the animal, due to its movement and its activity, the shaking activity, slowly but surely, pushes this pit forward until it got to this point, but it never caused any damage. Mirbahu de karavle. Vanimila de dikla, that's only by the pit of a date. Where, as we said, it's rather blunt. We presume it traveled the safe route. Avol dezeisa, but an olive pit, which is rather sharp on the edges, at the points. With the buzz, in this case, you have to assume that it made a hole through the system. It was ingested with the food and made its way towards this area, causing great damage and making the animal trefa. Okay, now just an anecdote regarding the lungs of an animal. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, actually, they're very healthy. Lom nikrum shma Reya, how'd they get their name Reya? Reya comes from Re'iya, vision, sight. Shemi'ira se'naim. It brightens one's eyesight, enhances one's eyes. Iboilo, the question is, just eating it plain or together with some other magic ingredients? Iboilo achila? Just eating it plain? Oy alide saman? Or do you have to mix other ingredients into the mix? And that combination is what causes this benefit. Toshma, he comes a right. Damar bin Mar Yudo ki avza bezuza. Sometimes you find that a duck, a full duck, goes for a zuz, $1. Vireyad da barbo. And its own lungs are sold for $4. Visa gadai techla achila. Now, if you can derive that said benefit from the, just from eating the lungs plainly, why spend $4 on the lungs and eat a whole, buy a whole duck with its lung for $1 in total? Linkat bezuzah, just take it with one zuz, v'lech, eat the whole thing. Apparently, elai de siyam samanin, The answer is because when they sell the lung, it's for its medicinal purposes together with those special ingredients. And that's when it's helpful. Okay, back to the hole that was found in the lungs. In kiva rea, let's say the rea was punctured, and it was discovered hecha de memash misha, where there's handling, yodid de tabcha, with the butcher, with the people, you know, when they take apart the animal, they handle or they move it around. So they pull out the lungs and they see there's a hole. Question: when, how, where, who? Who's at fault? Was it there during its lifetime, or did it happen now due to the mishandling of the lungs? Talinan, oilei talinan. Can we blame it on the butcher or not? Rab Ada bar Nosson Amar, he says talinan. You can attribute the hole to the handling of the lungs, and it happened post shechita. The animal's kosher. However, Mazutra, Bray, the son of Rav Mari, Amari says, Lo Talin, we can't blame it on the butcher. Famous trade, Velchasa Talin, and the Allah is, we do blame it on the butcher. Amrav Shmo, Bray, the Rabbi Avo. He says like this, Abba, my father, of course, whose name was Rabbi Avo, right? Mireshe Kale, he was one of the head announcers, the Rav from Hava. So the Rosh HaYeshiva, the Rav, would have a person with a loud voice standing next to him to call out to yell out what he was saying during the shir, and he had the following quote, following first hand quote from Rafram Bamar Talinun. Yeah, we attribute it to the butchers. Now Amrul al Kamei. So when this opinion of Rafram that you can blame it on the butcher was told in front of the Mazutra Beidu Rav Mori, who a minute ago said we can't blame it on the butcher, like Kibli, he didn't accept it. He stood his ground. Avram Rasharshia, you should know, Kavasei, like, and according to the opinion of Da'abua, the father, Da'abua of my father, who was Rav Acha, that was his name, according to some Girsis, it was Rav Acha earlier, who says he could blame it on the butcher. I think that's the correct approach to things. Mustafa, why? The Talina was A, we find elsewhere regarding halachas of treifa, that let's say the intestines were grabbed and brought back by the... We blame the puncture on the wolf who grabbed it, who clawed it, rather than saying it was there beforehand. So you see that when it comes to matters of treifa, we look at what seems to be more probable. And that plays a strong role, the wolf that clawed, or the tabach that took apart the animal after shechit. Next question. Murana. You find a worm eating its way out of the lungs after shechita. Question is, when did that hole develop? Before shechita, in which case the animal is treifa, or after shechita? There's machlokes pligibo Rav Yosef bar Dusai between him and the Rabban. Chad Amar, one opinion is, koidem shechita parish. We have to consider the possibility that in fact it happened before shechita, and it's a treifa. V'chad amar lach shechita parish. No, you can know with certainty that it happened only afterwards. And the Mefarshim explain because of the intense, you know, activity, the movement of the lung, inhaling, exhaling, that's happening during the animal's lifetime. Unlikely that the worm would be able to do its thing before shechita. V'chad amar, the conclusion is lach shechita parish. In fact, we assume it happened after shechita, and the animal's okay. Now, in terms of a hole in the lungs, Rav Shimon Omer Asher Tinokev, it's only an issue if the hole goes all the way through to the ducts that travel through the lungs. Now, which duct? Any duct? Amar Rabba v'tachlifa, Amar Rabba, the main trunk, Asher Tinokev v'pengadol. The issue is only if the hole goes all the way through to the main trunk inside the lung. Now, do we pass like Rav Shimon? Do we adopt this opinion, which is a leniency, or not? Yosef Rav Acha bar Abba Kamei was sitting in front of the Rav Hun of Yosef Kamei, he was saying over name of Amar Rabbi Maluch, that was his name, Amar Shimon Levi, that in fact halacha is like Rav Shimon, unless the hole goes all the way through, it's not an issue. Amalei, so he responded, he says, which Rabbi Maluch? Maluch, the one Arva that lives in Arabia, Garmers, that's the one? But he's known to have said just the opposite. Ain halacha, Rav Shimon come. He's the one who says we don't pass on Rav Shimon. So we have a little bit of a confusion here. What happened? Kisolak, Rabbi Zera. In fact, when Rabbi Zera traveled up there to Israel, Ashkechei, he encountered Rav Bivi, who was sitting and saying over Yosef Ka'amar. What was he saying? Amar Maluch, Amar Shimon Levi, the same idea. Halacha is Rav Shimon, that we are lenient. Amar Leis, Rav Zera says to him, Chai Damar, I swear in your life, meaning it was a lashon of shvua, a strong shvua, then actually, I have first-hand knowledge that it's not so. Dano, because I, Rav Chia Bar Abba and him, Rav Asi and Rav Asi, Iklan Lastri, we encountered the locale, the village, the place where the Rabbi Malach, where he lives, and we asked him straight out, did you say or did you not say? Did the master say Halacha Rabbi Shimon, as you are being quoted? Vamarlan, he says, you got it right, except for one word. Vamarlan, Ein Halacha Rabbi Shimon, Amri. I said, we do not call it Rabbi Shimon. So, Rabbi asked Rabbi Zera, okay, what's your position? What do you hold about this whole discussion? Amar Levi says, Hachi Amar Bitzchak, Bar Ami, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. We actually do pass on Rabbi Shimon. But the Gemara actually concludes otherwise. Ve'ein Halacha, we do not pass on like Rabbi Shimon. So in fact, if there's any hole in the long, even if it's not through and through, it's possible. Next item on the list is Nikva Keva. Keva, as we know, is that Abu Mesim, that fourth, you know, roundish, banana-shaped stomach. And we're going to sort of digress to the halachas of Chelev and then come back to Trefus later. We know that within the animal, a chaya, that all the fat is kosher, is mutter to eat. But by a behema, some fats are forbidden. Basically, the ones that are meant for the mizbeach. Torah says it goes on the mizbeach and you can't eat it. Versus certain fats that are permitted. In rabbinic terminology, in the Mishnayos and the Gemara, we differentiate between chelev and shuman. Chelev is the parts that are the parts that are asur, forbidden fats, and shuman relates to the fats that are permitted. Now, how do we know what's what? So, in the Torah, we have a model. The Torah says, look, the chelev hamachases akerev. The chelev covers the stomach, and then it says, v'eis kol ha-chelev asher al akerev, which comes to add a little bit more. That's considered for the mizbech. You don't eat that. And we learn, any chelev that compares to that, that's similar to that, specific chelev and its characteristics, is considered chelev, which is also, otherwise, if it's lacking those elements, lacking those features, it's mutter. Okay, so nikva keva, the keva got a hole, it's a treif. Amar Bitzach, Bar Nachmeni, Amar Beish, chelev shal gabi keva. What about the chelev that's sitting on that keva? Is it asur? Is it mutter? Hakayhanim no hagbo heter. The kayhanim consider it to be mutter, and they would eat it in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel, Sha'amah Mishma Vaisa, according to his father, his parents, his ancestors, that was his tradition. That in fact, this is of the permitted variety. V'simanech, a good way to remember who's the one who permitted it, Yishmael, who in fact was a Kohen Gadol, right? Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Kohen Gadol, famous story, Gemara in Brachas, where he went into Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Hashem says, bless me, give me a brach. Okay, so Rabbi Shmuel was Kahana, himself was a Kohen, Misayeh Kahani, who seeks to help his fellow Kohanim. As we're going to see a little later, why he got that title, and in fact over here as well. He's allowing them to eat the chelev of the Karbanos, which benefits them. Mahi, where's that other incident where he helped his kohanim? The Sana, we have a brayse regarding birchas kohanim. Pasuk says, "Koy sevaruch bnei Yisrael, amar lahem." Hashem says, "Go here. This is the way you bless Klal Yisrael." Says Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel aimer lemadnu brachah liYisrael. So this pasuk is a source for the kohanim giving a bracha to Yisrael, the kohanim from the kohanim. Lo kohanim atzmon leilomadnu. Who's going to bless the kohanim themselves? They also need a bracha. We have the next pasuk there. I will bless them. Hashem himself will give them a bracha. We learn from here. that it's a chain system. Kehanim mevarchim Yisrael. Kehanim bless Klal Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha mevarch lekehanim. Rabbi Kiva Omer. He learns a bit differently. Lamadnu bracha liyisrael pikehanim. From the first pasuk, we learn how the kehanim give a bracha to Yisrael. Mipikvura leilamadnu. What about a bracha to Klal Yisrael from Hashem? Comes the pasuk, which says, "Avi Omer," teaches us that in fact, Klal Yisrael gets a double brach, one from the Kehanim and one directly from Hashem. Kehanim mevarchim Yisrael. That's number one, and then Hakadosh Baruch Hu asks Al Yod, Hashem agrees with them, confirms it. As per the pasuk, "Vani," I, Hashem says, "Ani avarchim." I'll confirm. I'll add, enhance the bracha that they already got from the Kehanim. Okay, so this machlokes in the meaning of the pasuk Vanei Varachem, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's referring to Hashem giving a bracha to Kehanim. According to Rabbi Kiva, Hashem giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael. No, other Rabbi Kiva, bracha Kehanim. According to Rabbi Kiva, who says Vanei Varachem is going on the bracha between Hashem and Yisrael, where is the bracha to Kehanim? Amar Rachmar Yitzchak. We have a pasuk back by Avraham Avinu. Hashem says, whoever gives you bracha will be blessed by me. If a Kehanim will give bracha, they get Hashem's bracha automatically. I will bless. Those who bless you. Okay, so ultimately, everybody's getting blessed. So why are you considering Rabbi Shmuel as the one who helps the Kehanim and benefits them? Umay, what does that mean? Misaye Kehanim. The answer is like this. There's a nuance, there's a slight difference between the two approaches in terms of the quality of the bracha given to the Kehanim. The Mukila, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, he latches on Lebrichas Kehanim Bimkaim Bracha de Yisrael, together with the Bracha of Yisrael. So within the same Brichas Kehanim, there's a double layer of bracha taking place. One is between Kehanim and Yisrael, and then the Kehanim themselves get a bracha from Hashem. It's one package, it's one experience. Together with Klal Yisrael, that's how the bracha comes. Whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, it's based on a different bracha, avarchem avarachecha, whole different thing. It's a separate bracha, it's not one enhanced, community-wide bracha. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel was called Mesayei Kehanim. Because he gives them this privilege, this perk, this bonus of getting blessed together with Klal Yisrael. Okay, now let's go back to the Shailah of the Chelev, right? Chelev on the Daken, according to Rabbi Shmuel, B'Shem Avoysav, it's Mutter. Now, what's this Machlek is based on? Rabbi Shmuel, Shalom, Shalom, Avoysav, Mayi, where do we find this halacha, the Sanya? The Pasuk says, you are makrib the chelav amachasas akerev, the chelav which covers the stomach. And then it says, ve'ez kol ha-chelav asher al-akerev, which is adding something, whether it's the extra vav, ve'ez, okay. We turn to my ve'ez, what's that coming to add? Lahavi chelav shal gabei adak. It's covering for the chelav, which is over the daken, the intestines. That's also considered forbidden fat. Similar to the one on the stomach. Divrei hu shita zeh Rabbi Shmuel. But not the chelav on the keva, right? That's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva oimer, lo habichelav shel gabei hakeva. It's coming to add the chelav on the keva. Okay, so here we go. According to Rabbi Shmuel, chelav on the keva is mutter, as we said before. Ask the Gemara, really? But in the next brisa, they seem to say exactly the opposite. Rabbi Shmuel seems to say it's asur, and Rabbi Kiva says mutter, ramin. As a chelav asher lakerev, Rabbi Shmuel, there's a gerus Rabbi Shmuel Omer. He says, what constitutes forbidden fat? It has to contain the following elements. It has to feature as follows. It's meant to be similar to the chelav on the kerev. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, ma chelav amachas on the kerev? What's unique about the chelav on the kerev? Kruam. It has a membrane on it, v'niklav, which can be peeled off. Af, kol, krum, v'niklav. Likewise, any chelav which features this type of phenomena is considered asur, including the chalav on the keva, which has these two features. Oh, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's asr, the opposite what I said before, that it's mutter. Rabbi Akiva, I mean, no, chalav on the keva doesn't fit the criteria. Why? According to me, you need three conditions. Rabbi Akiva, I mean, ma chalav amachas on the keva, what's unique about the chalav on the keva? Toysav, that's another condition. Toysav means it's like a sheet, like a garment spread out on the organ beneath it, which can be sort of peeled off as one piece. It's not like granules and toysav. And then you have the krum v'niklav, avkol, likewise other fats, which feature these three characteristics. You know they're us. Avkol, toysav, krum v'niklav, as opposed to the chev on the cable, which doesn't have toysav. It's piecey, it's granule. No, so here we have an exact opposite configuration of the machlokes. Shalach Rabin. Rabin sent a message, a solution. Mishmei, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He says we have to flip around the names. Kachi Hatzo Shamishna. The second version is the correct one. Vevikamaisa. We have to flip around the first price. So Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says Asur. And Rukiva says Mut. How do you know which one to flip? My chazas, who's to say the achas kamaisi? Switch around the first brisa, a babas brisa. Maybe switch around the second one. No, shani achak kiv niktani mad dafk. Since in the second brisa, the choice of words seemed to be very accurate. It says ma, just like the chelav of the kerev is such and such. So unlikely. There's a mistake there. It seems to be the more accurate version. It seems to be dafka. We have to switch, it's the first one. Oh, says the Gemara, Yehachi, if that's the case, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says, Chilav on the cave is Asur. So back in the beginning of the Sugi, we said, Rabbi Shmuel, at the Kahanam, eat this Chilav, like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kivi. Actually, it's Rabbi Kivi, not Rabbi Shmuel. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Shama Mishama Voisav, it was Rabbi Shmuel, quoting his Avoisav. They were Matir. Himself, his personal opinion is that it's Asr. But when the Kahanim eat this Chelav, it's because Rabbi Shmuel quoted his father that it's okay. Amarav. Here's an interesting phenomenon, a distinction between Chelav, which is Mutar, which the Gemara calls Tahar, that's Mutar to eat, and the Chelav, which is Tami, which is Asr to eat, regarding the ability to plug up a hole. You see, the chela, which is asr, which is tummy, as we said before, is more of a rigid type of thing. Right? We call it toysav, right? It's more like a sheet. In which case, it doesn't really blend into the material, it doesn't really sink into the hole to plug it up properly. Whereas chela tohar is a more gooey, elastic type of substance, which could plug up a hole properly and seal it in a manner that corrects and rectifies a potential treifa situation. Amar Rav Chelav Tor Soisem. If it sinks into the, if it is flush to a puncture in the neighboring, organ in the animal, it does affect the proper seal and the animal's kosher. Whereas Tommy, the non-kosher fat, Eino Soisim can't do that. Rav Sheshi Samar, it doesn't matter. Echad, whether it's kosher or not kosher, Soisim, it can plug it and seal it properly. But Rav Zeir, what about the Chelav Chayamai? You say that the permitted fat has that ability. What about a Chelav of a Chayu? As we said before, in a behemoth we have different sections, parts which are Chelav Tar, part which is Tame. But by the Chaya, even that specific Chelav on the stomach, let's say, which if it was by the behemoth, it would be asr. By the animal, the chayot, it's mutter. So, can that plug up a hole? Rashi explains, Reb Zera was not yet aware of this the material difference between the consistency of the both types. So he was just asking is this the formula? Toher is soisim and tamei is not soisim. So the chelav of a chaya, wherever it is in the chaya, is always going to be soisim. Oy Rav Zeira, chelav chaya mai. What's the halacha of the chelav of the chaya? Dafka Omar chelav tor soisim. Was he specific when he says chelav tor, which is soisim, so it covers all the chelav by the chaya? Vay nami toru. All the chaya chayas chelav is tor. Or Mishum Mahadik. Maybe there's more to it. It's not just when you tohar your seisim for some, you know, mystical. There's a very practical, physical explanation, because the chelav tohar is more gooey and more adhesive, and it plugs the hole and seals it. Vaylei mahadik. But this section of fat found in the chaya, which if it was by the behemoth would be asur, that type, which features the more rigid type of presentation, that's not going to plug it properly. Amr Abayis, Abayi responded, of course, you're right. My tibayla, what's the question? Yidushar, bachila, sure, all types of fat in the chai is mutter. What doesn't mean that it changes its nature in terms of plugging a hole? Aduki loy mahadik. The chaylev of the chaya, that same type, if it were by the behemoth, it would be asr. Just because by the chaya, its mut doesn't change its elasticity and doesn't make it a proper sealer. How nekev, there's a story of a hole, the sasma chel of tami, that in fact was plugged by chel, which is tami, that's coming to Rav, was brought to Rav Amrava. What's the problem? Why should we be concerned? Chada, first of all, Rav Sheshes chel of tami namisoysim. Unlike Rav, who made that distinction, Rav Sheshes says all types of fat can properly seal and plug a hole. Void, furthermore, you have to be careful with the Yiddish Geld. Void a Torah chasa al mamonim sheyisrael. We find the Torah endeavor to preserve property of Klal Yisrael. So we're not just going to, prohibit the animal and discard it. Amalei Rav Papa. He asked the question of Rav. How is this money-saving factor a factor at play? Look, we have on the one hand Rav, who says that it's us, or Yisur d'Oraisa. We're dealing with a question of a possible Yisur d'Oraisa, and you're injecting this financial consideration into the equation. But Amrison, you're saying a Torah chasa al mamon shel Yisrael. That's not a factor at play in this type of shayla. Interestingly, there was another story with a similar type of expression. Menuhin, that was his name. He was a pitcher, a dealer, kanduka, iglile bistika, didovshi. He had a bistika, a container of honey, and it was exposed to the elements. And we know that once liquids get exposed to the elements, there's always a concern that perhaps a snake came and drank from it and ingested its venom. You keep away. But this wasn't really liquid, it was honey. No, asal kamei, the rabbi came to Rabbi with a shayla, what should I do? Amar rabbi, my nechashel, says rabbi, what's the concern? Chada, first of all, this now we have a mishnah, that although we have 8 primary liquids that are classified as liquid, but only 3 of them pose a snake concern. This nan, shloisha mashkim asur mishum gil, only 3 a concern is if they're exposed. That's the wine, hayayin, v'amayim, and water, v'chalav, and milk, which would attract a snake, but the other liquids, v'shar kalam mashkim atar, okay, even though they're exposed. So there you go. Honey's not an issue. V'oid, furthermore, ha-toyre chasa al mamon shel Yisrael. We're not meant to just, freely discard money. You have to, Amalei Rav Nachman, Yitzchak l'Rabba, he came to ask him the same question. He says, Reb Shimon v'sakaras nefashis. We all know Reb Shimon disagrees with that halacha. He says, even honey poses an exposure concern, and in that case, we're dealing with a question of a sakaras nefashis, life-threatening question, and you're injecting the financial aspect. But Amr's HaTorah Chasam Moshe Yisrael, how's that a factor at play? Okay, once we're on this topic, Reb Shimon, Mayi, where do we find Reb Shimon applies Gilu even to honey? The sign, you have a Braisa, Chamisha, Emem Shem Gilu, there are 5 liquids which have no Gilu concerns, Sir, that's like the pickle juice, V'chaymetz, vinegar, shemen, oil, dvash, honey, umurios, the fish juice. So snakes don't take well to these things. Shimon Omer, afhein, yesh v'mishim gilu. Gilu applies to these as well. In fact, I have a first-hand story. I myself witnessed. V'on Shimon Omer, I once saw a snake, nachash, shashot, tziri, he drank pickle juice, salty juice, but see that in the town of Tzidon. You see? And he does drink. Amrloi, they say, shat yava, he was a silly snake, a deranged snake, not a normal snake. And it's an anomaly which doesn't really concern us. Vein mevin raya minashayt, you're not being a raya from shayt. Okay, now back to that back and forth between Rava, who was not concerned, versus Nachman Yitzchak, who was concerned. Amalei says Rava to Rav Nachman, oidili miyas betzir. You're obviously adopting the opposing view of Shimon, who applies gila to all the, but at least agree to me when it comes to the tzir, because of its saltiness and its acidity, it's going to, even if there was any venom in there, it burns it out. In fact, the Rapapa, we have a story, Ravunu Yeshua, Rabban, Kihavalu Giluya, whenever they encountered an issue of giloy, liquid which may have been visited by a snake and may contain venom, what did they do to neutralize that venom? Shadulei b'tzir, they poured it into tzir, mixed it with tzir, which neutralizes the venom. Amar le'er, Nachum responded, Oidle miyad b'dvash. You know, please agree to me at least when it comes to honey that it is a concern, even if you'll disagree regarding the rest. Why? We have another shita that backs up Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon Malazar. Also, Kai Kavasei goes with that mindset, the Sanya. V'chein hayer Rav Shimon Malazar oisev advash. He disallowed exposed honey. Amar Nachman, Chelev ha'osu k'koiva. The Chelev presents like a dome. That's the way the chelev and the animal is configured. That specific type of chelev certainly is eino yisoyisim, doesn't have the ability to plug a hole because of its shape, because of its lack of elasticity. Where do we find this type of chelev? Amri lo, some say chiti de karkashta, the chelev, you know, granules over the karkashta, which is the final section of the intestines, which expels the waste. But I mean, some say it's referring to tarpish of the liba, the fat over the heart, which is shaped like a dome, which doesn't. Amarava. One more point. Shamis minei Rav Nachman Tarti. Regarding the, you know, the halachas of chelev, and specifically the chelev on the keva, there are really two types of chelev there. As we explained, the keva, the keva, it's like a banana-shaped organ, like a semicircle, which features two layers of fat, one on the bottom beneath, so it's called the exterior fat, which is flush to the outside of the banana, right? So it's like a semicircle. It's like the bow, right? The bow of the bow and arrow. Then we have another layer of fat on top of the banana, which is more like a straight line almost. It's like the string of the bow. The bottom is called the akashta, right? Keshes, like a bow, and the top one, the straight one, is called the ayatra. Ayatra is a string, a rope, like the string of the bow. Rav Nachman told me that one of these can plug a hole effectively, and one cannot. I'm not sure which one is what. Amar Rav Shamas Menei Rav Nachman. I heard from Rav Nachman Tarti two halachas regarding the two types of fat on the keva, chimtza, bar chimtza. One is called chimtza, one is called bar chimtza, like the son of chimtza. Chat sasam, chaloy sasam. One can plug, one cannot. I'm not sure which one's what. Leidan, not sure. Haimenai, which one's what? Rafunu, rachimna, rafunu, Rav Nachman Amar. He said like this. I'll explain to you. Bar chimtza sasam. The bar chimtza can plug a hole effectively. Chimtza loy sasam. But the chimtza does not do a good job. Amar Rav Tavos. Says Rav Tavos, a good way to remember this, v'simanech, yafe koich haben mikoich ha'av. There's a Mishnah, actually, in Shvois regarding financial matters, but applying it here as a simon, sometimes the son can be stronger than the father. The bar chimtza, which sounds like the son of chimtza, the secondary flat, is stronger and more effective than the father and the chimtza himself. Now, which one is the chimtza, which one is the bar chimtza, right? Once we established bar chimtza, yeah, chimtza, no, but where are they? Hi chimtza, hi bar chimtza, which one's what? Toshma dar Rav Nachman. So as we explained, there's a big shaila regarding these fats. Are they mutter? Are they asur? So Rav Nachman says like this. Dar Rav Nachman, inu, so they over there in Eretz Yisrael, he lives in Babel. Those people in Eretz Yisrael, mechal achli. They don't hesitate to eat it. For them, it's considered mutar. According to their shita, that fat is okay. It doesn't fit the criteria of chelav asr, it's mutar. Now, although we refrain by us in Bava, we don't eat it. Umachmer, done for us, mistam nami lo sasim. We turn to the next page. It's not even going to plug. I mean, okay, the fact that we refrain, we don't eat it, but let's at least consider it. Like Chelev Torah regarding the ability to plug. We don't rely on their minhag or machmer, but at least regarding the plugging ability. It's elastic. It's pluggable material. Okay, so as we're going to see in a minute, the discussion machlekes regarding between a tshuva and bubble related to the ayatra, to the one on top, right? And Rav Nachman is saying it certainly has the ability to plug. Okay, so there you go. You're wondering which one does, which one doesn't. Apparently, it's the ayatra which plugs. The akashta does not. And the Gemara explains the akashta kulam lepligi the asur. All agree that the akashta is asur, whether in bubble or in tisrael, because as Rashi explains, it has all three conditions: toysav, krum, v'niklaf, like we said before. She pligi with the ayatra. The question is regarding the ayatra. And Rashi explains, because the ayatra only had two features. It was krum v'niklaf, had the membrane, which is peelable. It didn't have the toysav feature. It wasn't like flat, like a sheet. Which, of course, was the subject of machlekes before we turn to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel says, even without that, it's asur. Rabbi Kiva says, you need the toysav as well. So that was machlekes. Whether we pass them, Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva. I mean, there's another version of the machlekes. The yatra kulam lepligi the shari. All agree the yatra is okay. Because we go like Rabbi Kiva, we need three conditions, and this one doesn't have toysav, so it's mutter. Pligi with akashta. The question is regarding that akashta. Rashi explains, although you need three conditions, you need the krum, niklav, and toysav, the question is whether this thing actually is toysav, whether it represents like a one unit, like a sheet. Some say it is, some say it's not. And that's the basis of the machlekes. Okay, so bottom line, at least according to the first lashon, there was a machlekes regarding ayatru, right? In Bavel, and it's Yisrael they ate, in Bavel they did not. Ki ha'adam Rav Avya, as per the story, Rav Avi tells us a story. Amar Rabbi Ami. Amar Rabbi Ami Mekamtsin. Rabbi Ami, who lived in Tzistro, Mekamtsin, they would feed him the yatra. Mekamtsin means they would just clip off a little bit from the side where there was real chalev, and the rest he would eat. V'cheinu Rabbi Yanai. Likewise, he said, Mishum Zokin Echad Mekamtsin. Amar Rabbi Avi. He says like this: Havokayim okay, Nukamid Rabbi Ami. I was once standing there in front of Rabbi Ami. Mekamtsin Vahavali Vahachal. They clipped off the part, the corner, then they gave him the rest, and he ate it. Shamid Reb Chanina, who lived in Yisrael, had an assistant who came from Babel. Have a koy coming to Reb Chanina. He was standing in front of Reb Chanina and serving him. Amalei, Reb Chanina says to him, "Kamoi, tavli deichel, please clip off the corner, give me the rest." Chadav kamachasim. He notices that his helper was a little hesitant. He wasn't coming forth. Amalei says, "Oh, I understand. Because Bavlad, you come from Babel, and for you this is aser. You're accustomed to that practice, so I'm going to be sensitive to your customs. Gum shadi, cut it off and throw it away. We're not going to eat it today." Out of deference to his minik. Okay, that sums it up. We have a long blot today. We discussed the pits found in the gallbladder. Date pit is not an issue. The olive pit, which is sharp, is an issue. We got another kula. If the hole on the lung was found where it's mimash, where they handle it, after the shechita, where it's pulled out and likely to have occurred through the mishmush, through the handling, then we blame it on that. We spoke about the timing of the murana. When did the worm crawl out, before or after shechita? Halacha was wamekel, that came after shechita. We discussed Rav Shimon Shita, the hole in the lung has to reach the big simpoin. And there was a question of whether we passing like that or not. Maskana was we don't passing like that. We brought the discussion regarding Bichas Kayhanim. Ultimately, everybody gets blessed. The question is, according to what system? And we discussed the rule, general model of Chelev Asur, which were subject to machlekes, two conditions, three conditions, or Rishmor, or Akiva. I mean, an interesting add-on regarding Hilchos Treifos, that the Chilav Tar presents a little bit more elastic and more gooey, which allows it to sink into the hole, the Nekev next to it, and seal it and properly. Whereas Chilav Tami doesn't have that ability. We discussed Hatarach HaSam and Shal Yisroel, discussed the exposed liquids, and the Chilav on the Keva, the Yechimtza, and the Bar Chimtza, an interesting machlokes between Bavel and Yisroel, and how the various tzaddikim conducting themselves. Okay. All the best to you, Psirus Tevis, and much, much Hatzlacha.